Good morning and welcome. If you're visiting us this morning, I hope you find peace and friendship with us. And please join us for tea and coffee after the service when there's a light lunch for sale. And there was somebody mixing double cream this morning, so sweet will be good. We meet for prayers in the church on Tuesday and Thursday at 9:15 a.m. if you would like to come along and join us. If you can't attend, please hold in your prayers the folks in the community and especially those in Candor Centre. Night church is tonight, the 2nd of February at 7:30 to 9 o'clock. You can come along for a little time or of reflection, or you can stay until the end. Coffee morning starts back here at St Ninian's this Tuesday, the 4th of February, 10 a.m. to 11:30. The pastoral care visit to Candor Even on Wednesday, the 5th of February at 2 p.m, and you'll be very welcome to come along and help with the singing. Hope Cafe's on Thursday the 6th of February, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And articles for the spring issue of the Link magazine have to be with Avril for next Sunday. Communion will be celebrated next Sunday the 9th of February, and will elders please meet in the small hall at 10:45 a.m. The next guild meeting's on Monday the 10th of February at 7:30. There's been a change on the syllabus. Sarah Jane is going to be in Katiga. So she's going to come along to our March meeting. So the Monday the 10th of February we'll have the Beetle Drive, and Sarah Jane will come along to the March meeting. The book group will meet on Sunday the 16th of February, and the book to read is Entry Island by Peter May. The Community Council are holding a meeting on Monday the 17th of February at 7:30 in Lifestyles. The National Health Service will be represented, and also the MSP will be there, and you're encouraged to attend this meeting. If you have any donations for Leprosy Mission, if you could pass them to Anne Cowan as soon as possible. And at the last session meeting, Sadie collected money from elders towards a hamper to be raffled from now until March. If you weren't at the meeting and you would like to give, please speak to Sadie. And the raffles for the hamper are now on sale at £2 each. They'll be through in the hall after the service if you want to. There's actually should enough money to do two, so that they've both been raffled in the one raffle. Stuart also had dates set aside to speak with smaller groups of elders to discuss what they thought being an elder meant and where did they see St Ninian's going in the years ahead. I have forums available today. If you haven't already put your name down, if you could speak to me after the service. The Mission Education and Discipleship meeting will take place on Thursday the 6th of February at 7 p.m. And the men are doing their Valentine coffee morning again on Saturday the 15th of February, 10 a.m. to 12. And if you would, I know the men are doing it, but I have to put an appeal out for baking. I know there's a lot of men are good bakers as well, but if the women would like to help them, if you could donate some baking, and they would appreciate help as well. So if any of you gentlemen are available on the 15th of February, your help will be much appreciated. And you do need to get dressed up. If you know of anyone who's in hospital or celebrating a happy occasion, if you could please let Anne Thompson or Margaret Patrick know, and we'll send flowers or visit. Stuart.
Good morning. It's good to see you all. Blessed are the seekers, for here is a place to be all that you are. Blessed are the questioners, for here is a place of mystery and honesty. Blessed are the followers, for here is a place to pause and to think. Blessed are the burdened, for here is a place where your yoke will be carried. Blessed are the unsure, for here's a place to wrestle and explore. Blessed are you all. Here is a place to meet and worship the one who blesses each and every one of us. We join to sing. It's number 173. Sing to God new songs of worship.
Thank you.
Let's join together in prayer. Lord of all blessings, giver of all happiness, as we gather in this space, we're reminded of your goodness. Teacher of the way, giver of all hope, as we gather in this space, we're reminded of your love. Spirit of God, giver of all inspiration, as we gather in this space, we're reminded of your stirring. We've come to be blessed, ready to leave a blessing to others. We've come to listen, ready to take what we hear out into the world. We come just as we are, ready to leave changed by you. We come with whatever is heavy on our hearts, knowing that we're all less than perfect. We remember the words we've said or left unsaid, leaving scars on others. Things we've done or left undone, leaving a trail of messiness behind us. And yet, here we are, ready to acknowledge all of those things, ready to receive all that you can give, ready to be transformed by your love, ready to start afresh. We are blessed because you bless us always. Hear us, Lord, as we join in your word, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's listen then for the word of God. We find it today in the prophet Micah and the Gospel of Matthew.
Our first reading today is from Micah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. The Lord's case against Israel. Listen to the Lord's case against Israel. Arise, O Lord, and present your case. Let the mountains and the hills hear what you say. You mountains, you everlasting foundation of the earth, listen to the Lord's case. The Lord has a case against his people. He is going to bring an accusation against Israel. The Lord says, My people, what have I done to you? How have I been a burden in you? Answer me. I brought you out of Egypt. I rescued you from slavery. I sent Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to lead you. My people, remember what King Balak of Moab planned to do to you, and how Balaam, son of Beor, answered him. Remember the things that happened on the way from the camp to Acadia, to Gilgal. Remember these things, and you will realize what I did in order to save you. What shall I bring to the Lord, the God of heaven, when I come to worship him? Shall I bring the best calves to burn as offerings to him? Will the Lord be pleased if I bring him thousands of sheep or endless streams of olive oil? Shall I offer him my firstborn child to pay for my sins? No, the Lord has told us what is good. What he requires of us is this, to do what is just, to show constant love, and to live in humble fellowship with our God. Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus saw the crowds and went up a hill, where he sat down. His disciples gathered round him, and he began to teach them. Happy are those who know that they are spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are those who mourn. God will comfort them. Happy are those who are humble. They will receive what God has promised. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. God will satisfy them fully. Happy are those who are merciful to others. God will be merciful to them. Happy are the pure in heart, they will see God. Happy are those who work for peace, God will call them his children. Happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires,
The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are you when people insult you and persecute you and tell all kinds of evil lies against you because you are my followers. Be happy and glad, for a great reward is kept for you in heaven. This is how the prophets who lived before you were persecuted. Amen.
Thanks, Anne. Morning. There we go, still awake. Excellent. Good. How are we all today? Yeah, who's still got their Christmas tree up? It's Candlemas today, so if you've still got your Christmas tree up, you have to take it down today. Okay, so this is like the last possible day you can take down your Christmas tree. Honest. Who's still got their tree up? Nobody? Who's put their tree up for next year yet? Who's happy? Put your hand up if you're happy. Okay, some of you are happy, some of you aren't. Okay. Why are you happy? You're going to your friend's house after church. Brilliant. Why are you happy, Fraser? You just are? Yeah, it's just happy. Come on. Because you're in church, you're happy. Good. Look, I asked all them if they were happy, and hardly any of them said they were. So it's nice that somebody's happy to be here. Vera, you happy? You've got your dad's on Saturday. Brilliant. Are you feeling better? Good. I'm glad of that as well. That's why you're happy. The show in Edinburgh. Yeah, was it amazing? Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it? What's the best bit?
All of it.
Except for when Mufasa dies. Yeah, that's awful sad when Mufasa. Get someone else's teeth in today when Mufasa dies. It's sad. I like the big elephant at the beginning.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Sorry, spoilers if you've not seen it. Yeah. You're happy because you're happy. That's a good reason to be. Why are you happy, Shona?
I'm happy because it's my mum's birthday.
It's your mum's birthday, is it? She's now mortified up at the back. I wish her happy birthday. She said, don't tell anybody. Happy birthday. We've got this weird rule about singing to people. We only sing if your birthday's got a 5 or a 0 at the end. I don't know why that is, unless you're like under 18 and then it's whenever it's your birthday. Or sometimes when it's me, and then that's just embarrassed me. So we're happy for lots of different reasons, aren't we? And our reading today is a really strange reading because it's a list of things about happy, but none of the things that you would like normally be happy about. So one of the things that Jesus says, the people who are mourning, people who have lost someone they love has died, they'll be happy. That's a really weird thing to say, isn't it? That's straight, because that's not a time when anybody's happy, is it? That's a time when we're sad. And happy are people who don't feel very great about themselves. That's weird as well, isn't it? That's a really strange thing to say. Happy are people who other people tell lies about and say horrible things to because they follow Jesus. That doesn't sound great either, does it? It's a really strange list. They're called the Beatitudes. And it's a wee list that Matthew tells us that Jesus told people about being happy. And it's kind of turning everything that we know upside down. What are all the things that make us happy? The things that we do, or things that we have, or things, people that we see and that we love. And what Jesus is saying is sometimes we get the wrong things. We think they make us happy, and they really don't. The thing that makes us happiest of all is God. And when we take all of those things out of the way, then we can be truly happy. And sometimes we forget that. And we all forget it, don't we? We all think other things will make us happy, or other people will make us happy. And actually, the thing that makes us happiest the most is God. And that's what Jesus is telling us in this story. Happy. Blessed is one of the other words that they use for that. Blessed are people. Blessed are you, because God loves you. God loves you. Completely, totally, always. God loves us all, even when we forget. I think that's an amazing thing, and we don't say it often enough. God loves all of us, all the time. And it doesn't matter who we are, or what we've done, or whether we remember or not, God still loves us. And because of that, we're blessed. So we're going to sing a song. I think. I can't remember what it was. What were we singing? Make me a channel of your peace. So here we are, still right near the start of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's story about who Jesus is and, well, what kind of Messiah he's going to be. And we find this strange passage that we have come to know as the Beatitudes. It's a series of 9 statements about blessing. And it comes at the start of this big, long block of teaching that's become known as the Sermon on the Mount. Last week we read the verses before this from chapter 4 about Jesus calling 4 ordinary fishermen, but we stopped at verse 22, 3 verses short of the end of the chapter. And today we start at verse 1 of chapter 5, so we've missed out 3 verses. And we missed them out because, well, they don't really go with the one before, and they don't really go with the one that we read today. They're just kind of there in the middle. But they're really, really important. This is what they say. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout Syria, and they brought their sick to him. Those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demonics, epileptics, and paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and Jerusalem, and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. The Decapolis was a group of 10 cities all around that area, mostly now in Jordan and Syria, and some in Israel. The kind of 10 great cities of the region. And people came from all those places to see Jesus. These verses tell us what Jesus has been doing and who he's been doing them with. He's been teaching, proclaiming the good news, and curing every disease and every kind of sickness. And he's become famous already. People are coming from all over to see Jesus. We read today that there was a crowd of people there. I wonder who they were. Well, actually, we don't need to wonder very much. They were those people. They were the people who had come to see Jesus, the people who had been cured of their diseases and their friends and their families who had brought them. People Jesus had already made a difference to. The sick, those who were afflicted with various things, demonics, epileptics, and paralytics, all of them had been cured. And Jesus does this first. Jesus had a reputation before he starts to teach and speak. The people want to hear him because of what he's done. So often our leaders make all kinds of promises. Vote for me and I'll do this. They might have no intention of ever doing it in the first place. Or they never quite get around to it. Or there's always something that gets in the way. But that's not the case with Jesus. Jesus does first and then speaks. He takes people to the top of a mountain. There's a theme that runs all the way through Matthew's gospel that paints Jesus as the new Moses. Moses, of course, saved the people from slavery. He led them out of Egypt into the promised land so that they could live there as a new kind of people, a new community. And it was on the mountain that God first appeared to Moses in a burning bush. And then he went back up the mountain and God gave him the Ten Commandments. God spoke to him. God appeared to Moses. Revelation happens on the mountain. God is revealed to his people. So in Matthew's gospel, Jesus, remember, runs away as a very small child to Egypt and comes back from Egypt across the Jordan into the promised land. So Matthew sets up this idea that Jesus is the new Moses. And just like Moses, Jesus goes up the mountain. That sounds very grand. If you've ever been to the Holy Land, the mountains aren't actually very big. They're just kind of like hills. They're not even as big as Tintel. So this hill that he goes up is just, it's a bit of a bump. It's not huge. It's not a mountain. It's not thousands of metres into the sky or anything like that. And we think of going up a hill as taking us away from everything, don't we? You go to climb the mountains to get away from everything else. But the mountains around Lake Galilee actually give you a brilliant view of everything. They raise you up so that you can see further. You can see all the towns all around the lake. You can see the ones that are in Israel and the ones that are on the other side of the lake in Syria. You can see the boats going up and down on the water, fishing or bringing goods and people up and down and up and down. You can see the Roman garrison at Tiberias. And you can see the hot springs that are just along the shore from Capernaum, where people went to be healed. So Jesus takes people up onto the mountain so that he can teach them, so they can see him, but also so that they can see their world presented to them. They can see everything that's important to them. They can see commerce and trade. They can see the Roman occupation. They can see the synagogue. All the things that the people think are important, all the places and people who have power are there before them. And Jesus points to them and starts to go through this really strange list of people who are blessed or happy. People we would never think of as blessed. People we would rather be anything else than. People that society says we should avoid or avoid being. The poor in spirit. Those who mourn the meek. Who wants to be that? Why on earth would anybody choose to be like that? And how can they be blessed? Because they've lost everything. Well, because these people are as far away from the priorities of what the world tells us is good as it's possible to be. The poor in spirit, those who mourn the meek, have lost everything that's dear to them. The things that are most valuable, power and status and wealth, and those they love the most. They see value in things that are real and can see right through the false claims of the world with all its superficial, vacuous nonsense. Blessed are the poor in spirit because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are those who mourn because they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. But that's not all of us, is it? It might be most of us at some points in our lives, but it's not all of us all the time. But the translation doesn't quite give the whole picture. I've spoken before about the Hebrew word chesed. You'll probably remember because I did that. Chesed. Which means something along the lines of love lived out. It doesn't just mean blessed and it doesn't just mean happy. It means much, much more than that. Love lived out, demonstrated, shown for others. Chesed. Love lived out is what being poor of spirit looks like. Because to be poor in spirit means to be completely lacking in ego. To be completely not self-centered. And if we're completely lacking in that, then there's much more room for God. Chesed, love lived out, is what happens in bereavement. How often do we say that we don't know what we've got until it's gone? I'm not sure that we can ever fully know how much we love someone until they're taken away from us. That's the point that we know. Chesed, love lived out, is when you have no ambition because you're content. Happy to see others flourish around you. But the rest of the Beatitudes are things that we can all be. We can all hunger and thirst for righteousness. We can all be merciful. We can all strive to be pure in heart. And each of us can do our best to make peace. Because those are the way that this radical upside down kingdom that Jesus talks about comes into being. Jesus is presenting a manifesto. A manifesto for the kingdom of God. And none of it's new. It's all stuff from the Psalms and the prophets. Jesus is taking the things that the people know and putting them together in a different way so that they can see something important. Things that they say all the time or they sing as part of worship. Things that they hear again and again in the synagogues. These are the things that God has been trying to say all along. Look. Understand. Really listen. And the thing is that we all know it's true. Just like the people then did. Jesus is naming the reality of the lives of the people of that time. He's pointing to the powers that be and saying, well, this is your life. This is what the world tells you is important. But Jesus has already exercised a different kind of power. And his teaching gives language to what the people have just experienced. He's saying to them, look around. Look at all of this. You are these people. These people that I'm talking about, you are the meek and the poor in spirit and the bereaved. Because that's what this life has done to you. It's told you that you're worth nothing. It's taken away everything that you have. It says that you should be shunned, that you have no contribution to make because you can't work. Or you're in some way disabled or distressed or distraught. People like you aren't valued by the system because you can't be productive. You can't buy things. You don't fit into the world's narrow view of what wealth and happiness looks like. And before he said all of that, Jesus made them whole. Because that's what God's kingdom looks like. He showed them how it worked. And then gave them words to explain it. This is the good news. This is what it looks like. This is what you have experienced. This is what makes it real for me and for you. And this is what it could look like if we valued these things. Peace and mercy and justice instead of the world. Eric Barreto suggests that both the Sermon on the Mount and the Ten Commandments are not rules as much as they are a vision for communal wholeness. A vision for communal wholeness rooted in God's liberation of the oppressed. These stories are told and embedded within a big story, a much larger story about the character of a faithful God. That's why Jesus draws on the scriptures that the people know. This is how God has always been. Look, again and again and again, God says this. Look at Micah that we read this morning. His confrontation with the people is almost comic. The prophet stands up as if it was a trial of God, and speaks for God. Right, so what's your problem? What is it I've done? I mean, apart from save you from the Egyptians in slavery and give you somewhere to live and, you know, created a community that's great for you. I mean, but apart from that, what is it I've done that's so bad? You with all your sacrifices. You think that's what God wants? Bigger and bigger and more elaborate. Thousands of goats, rivers of oil. Even the kings were still sacrificing children to a God who calls for justice and mercy. All God wants of us, all God has ever wanted from us, is to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God. And that's what Jesus reminds us of in the Beatitudes. And people will take offence at that. And that's how we'll know we're doing it right. Because to live like this undermines the sham of power. It undoes all the lies we're told about possessions bringing happiness. It lays bare the claims of fashion and fad, of fame and fortune. Chesed, love lived out. It's where the kingdom of God begins to take root and begins to grow. But where will we see these Beatitudes lived out today? Where will we bear witness to this alternative kingdom full of those whom Christ calls blessed? Will we recognise the poor of spirit and those who mourn? Will we notice the weak and the meek? Those who hunger for righteousness because they have none? Will we point out the merciful or the poor in heart? Will we stand alongside the peacemakers? Stand beside those who have been treated unfairly? Close enough to attract some of their harassment? Will we be able to see and stay close to those Christ calls blessed? And learn to live ourselves in that blessing. Even though people point and stare and say terrible things about us. Blessed. Chesed. Blessed are we all who seek for the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's join and sing. A hymn is number 341. Blessed are they, the poor in spirit. Thank you. bring to God our offering. God of all goodness, God of all blessings, it should be so much easier for us to count our blessings. And yet we spend more time counting what we don't have than what we do. So here in our gifts are our tokens of love for you and your church. May we in our service and in our giving of time and money be a blessing to you and to your church and to all the world whom you love. Amen. We sing again, it's 5-5-3, just as I am. Which I seem to have missed out of the slides. Have I? That's not there. Okay, we're not singing then, sorry. Unless the choir want to get a solo. Yeah, okay. You can join in if you know the words.
Oh, Let's join together in prayer. God of love, your words are challenging. You challenge us with standards to aspire to, and yet you overflow with love, openness, and acceptance. Today we pray for the world that you have gifted us and called us to steward, as we seek to look on it through Christ-like eyes. Eyes that help us to see people as they really are. Eyes to recognise that despite the trials that are experienced by some, they are blessed. We pray for the thousands of people who have contracted the coronavirus in China and elsewhere. Comfort those whose loved ones have died. Bring peace to those living with uncertainty after perhaps being exposed to the virus. Give patience to those who are quarantined and unable to move freely in their communities. Strengthen those who are risking their own lives to care for the sick patients. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Today we pray for those who are financially poor. As we sit down to food at our tables this day, may we remember your children who go hungry. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who cope with loneliness and grief, those who are poor in spirit, those craving comfort, and those who need space and time to heal. We pray for those who are silenced or overlooked, those who deserve our respect, those who deserve their voice to be heard. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who work for peace, those involved in reconciliation. May their voices be heard in a world that urgently needs to listen and pay attention to what they say. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are insulted, tarnished by reputation, or labelled as different. They need the world to understand there is no place for discrimination. Lord, we are more than just your people. We are blessed to be called your children. Help us as your family to reach out to the lost, the broken, and the suffering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So we join in singing our final hymn, which you already know. It's number 465, Be Thou My Vision. and be a blessing in the world. Be a word that brings life. Be a community that speaks of love. Be God's people wherever you are. Be the blessing of the kingdom of God. Go with the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with us this day and forevermore. Thank you.